ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 proudly present The Killer Bees.
Definitely a fan of The Killer Bees.
Don't sweat the technique.
From the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios at the Pleasure Pier in Galveston, here now are The Killer Bees, Joe Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Oh, hell yeah. You about to get all stung up.
What up, H-Town? Hey, how we doing?
He's Blank, I'm Branham, Joe George behind the glass, Andrew Carlson here on site. We're at Sweet Scoops on Pleasure Pier in Galveston. Blankers, you've been here before. We're talking a little bit before the show. This is my first time here. This is awesome. How do they fit all of this stuff on a pier? All of these roller coasters on a pier?
It's pretty crazy, right? And with all the different things that they've had happen with weather and other things, it's crazy that everything has survived all the different hurricanes and storms, and they just keep on going. And my kids love it down here, and they love the rides, and it's a really fun time.
Yeah, this is cool. Happy to be here. Thanks so much to all of those that had us out here. We're going to be out here until 3, of course. The Wheelhouse will be here after us until 7. I might go ride some rides after the end of the show as well. You join me? Join me on a roller coaster?
Go ride that big swing in the air. That
do you go over the water?
You look over the water.
Over the
it
Gulf.
Swings you around. Yeah, my 7-year-old daughter could not get enough of it. I was like, you're going to be scared. You're not going to want to do that and come down. Nope, she made it through the whole thing.
All right, Rockets yesterday.
Yeah.
In the NBA draft, they didn't make a move, surprisingly. I thought they would either trade down or trade up from number 20. Turns out they didn't have to. They get Amen Thompson at number 4, which was the betting favorite for a long time. No surprise there. But then they got Cam Whitmore at number 20. Number 20, he was in the discussion for number 4 at one point. We thought he was going to be a top 5 pick, certainly not out of the top 10, certainly not out of the lotto. He slides all the way to number 20. A lot to talk about here, but first off, what did you think of the haul for the Houston Rockets last night in the NBA draft?
Look, I thought that they did really well, but I think that the signature of Rafael Stone, that since he's been general manager, is a lot of things seem to just fall into his lap if he just sits and waits. And the same way in previous drafts, a lot of guys just, when you talk about last year's draft and the year before, there were normally 3 guys in the top tier. When that last guy is not drafted, he slides to you. You basically have no other choice but to take that guy. And in last year's case, you were hoping that OKC took Chet, because then Jabari, who we thought was the most upside talented player in the draft, fell right into his lap. Last night, Whitmore falls right into his lap. You're right. This week, they had worked out both guys, thinking that one of them was going to be their pick at number 4. The fact that he didn't have to do a thing being Rafael Stone, and he ends up getting 2 guys that could potentially have been taken at 4 where they got him, I thought they did extremely well.
I don't know if you can knock Stone, though, for just sitting and waiting. You know, and he talked about afterwards how he was trying to move up, but it just never materialized. Turned out it was the shrewd move, because you don't have to give up any draft capital. And I don't think that it was a thing of genius. Like, he flat out admitted, we're trying to trade up, probably to get Cam Whitmore, and he ended up falling right into your lap. So sometimes better to be lucky than good.
Well, it's a Belichick type move, right? A lot of times you just kind of, you know, keep cards close to your vest and wait for it, and it falls right where you need it to.
So I love this draft class. You know, we talked a lot of this coming into this draft about how it's a 3-player draft, and I still believe that. I still think that Scoot, Brandon Miller, and Victor Wembanyama are a tier above everybody else, including Amen Thompson, in my opinion. There's some reports out there that the Rockets had Thompson 2nd on their big board. Who knows if that's true? Doesn't really matter. But for where the Rockets were, at number 4, at number 20, we already knew that they weren't going to be in that top tier unless they traded up. Seemed unrealistic. So if you know that you're picking in the second tier, first pick of the second tier, fine with Amen Thompson. But then the slide of Cam Whitmore is what makes, like, if you're doing draft grades, and draft grades are ridiculous and stupid, especially the day after the draft, you're going to give the Houston Rockets high marks for, you're right, something that they really didn't do. They just sit and waited until they got Cam Whitmore. But I think that the bigger thing is, when you look at this Houston Rockets team, you look across the board and they have a very young nucleus with a very high potential. Who knows if they ever reach that potential? There's no way to know that. But I think that they have a core that gives you at least hope that if they reach their potential, they could be a really good team in the NBA someday.
Well, and the way I look at it too, Jeremy, is if indeed Amen Thompson is a point guard, and I have some reservations about that, but getting Ty Washington a year ago, Amen Thompson this year at point guard, you talk about what we always talk about, which is all the stretch fours and the rangy fours that they have when you go down the list, and you know that they've got guys from top to bottom, starting with a Jabari Smith, then a Tari Eason. And you look at all the guys that they can put in that position. You know that you've got Shengun that's a big. You know that you got Jalen and KPJ and others that are, even if one or two of those guys pan out as being true star-type players, you've done all you needed to do. Now it's just getting the role players to put around them, yep. And you still have a young nucleus of talent that can fill those roles as well, and you throw KJ Martin into the mix and some of the other guys that they have that have actually turned out, and that is a stable of young talent that should give you plenty to pick from, and you know, when you start watching them develop, you can quickly start figuring out who's got it, who doesn't, and who's going to be the guys that you can rely on.
And about these two picks especially, like, I look at these two picks as I kind of want to see them in certain roles. I agree with you that they both have position flexibility. Like, I think a man can play anywhere, any guard position. I think he can be a point, potentially. I think he can be a wing. He's not going to play much of the four, if at all. I think that Cam Whitmore, best-case scenario, can be a three and can be a small ball four because he's big. He's 6'7", 230, and he rebounded pretty well in his freshman year in the Big East. So, like, I want to see Cam Whitmore developed into a big three, small four type, and then I want Amen Thompson, quite frankly, I want him to play point guard.
It would be great if he did, right? Because he's got to work on his shot, but that's actually a blessing in disguise. While he's working on his shot, he won't be shooting the ball too much mm-hmm. So that the guys that you already know are supposed to be the shooters on your team get plenty of shots and there's plenty of ball to go around. If he just gets the ball, it does what he's supposed to do and distributes. When you talk about Whitmore, they said he was the most NBA-ready body that was in this draft. Mm-hmm. And so when you know that already, to your point, it fits perfectly as a 3-4, a tough defensive-minded guy, athletic and strong. But he can score, and he can go out and get buckets when he needs to, too. So whether that's a guy coming off the bench when you need a couple of hoops or a guy you need to go get physical with one of the bigger wing players in this league, you know you got a guy that can do that for you. And that's basically something that they didn't have a whole lot of a year ago in terms of a guy with some strength and athleticism and girth mm-hmm. that could go in there and pound on some of the more athletic frames in the league.
Because like you said, there's a lot of like the same type of player on this team. Like there's a lot of threes. I mean, you already have Tari Eason. You already have Jayshon Tate. You already have KJ Martin, and you can make the case that Whitmore's best position is the three. You can make a case that Thompson's best position is the three. That's why I want Thompson to be groomed. I think he's a project. Let's be very clear. I don't think Thompson's winning rookie of the year. Right. I don't even think he's a first-team all-rookie guy. I think he needs to be your backup point guard and learn on the fly. And then Cam Whitmore, I think you need to kind of teach him to be a big four that can play a little bit of three but play that big four. That's what I want to see them do. With these two prospects.
I think a lot, too, relies on what Udoka wants to do and where he wants to put guys.
Right.
Because I think Tari Eason easily is a three or a four, depending on how you want to use him, because he is long, he has reach, he has bounce, he can go get rebounds. And so when you think about Jabari, who probably shoots the ball better than Tari Eason, facing the basket, especially from three,
yep. But
Tari Eason can get buckets, he finishes on the break, and he can guard fours, depending on what body type that four has.
That's kind of where I'm at with this, too, is like, look who the coach is, because in any NBA draft, you're happy with the talent that you have. Like, you're happy with the prospect that it is. Like, that's the other thing about Whitmore is, like, last 2 years you've drafted a Josh Christopher and a Ty Washington in this range of picks, and now you have, like, a legitimate lotto pick. You have a legitimate top 10 talent with Cam Whitmore. But whenever you have these types of – I think Thompson's a bigger project than Whitmore, to be quite honest with you.
I agree.
But he has a much, much, much higher ceiling because yep. of his athleticism and his ability to, you know, to jump, his ability, I think, to rebound, his ability to pass, his ability to potentially be a lockdown defender. Like, I think he can be a little bit best case scenario. I think he can be like a more athletic Rajon Rondo type that's a little bit longer. The Russell Westbrook comparisons, I think, are unfair because Russell Westbrook's like a multi-time MVP and a Hall of Famer and a triple-double
machine.
He's
also like a running back in a basketball player's body, right?
Yeah.
I mean, he's jacked up and he can jump through the roof.
Right. I think Scoot and Russ have a more likable skills and traits than Amen Thompson does. I think Amen Thompson can be a big, athletic Rajon Rondo type where he can lock you down on the perimeter. He can slash to the basket, and his athleticism would be really good. And then you hope that he does develop a three-point shot. Last year with – what team was he on? I don't even know what league that he's playing on, Amen Thompson.
The overtime.
Overtime elite. What league is that?
So that's the Kevin Ollie project. Remember when they needed a place for the high school kids to go when they didn't want to expose them to the G League and before the G League was paying money? They got private money to do that kind of organized advanced high school league.
It's weird.
That's where they were playing.
It's weird. But he shot 25% in that league last year. as a rookie, I don't even care what he shoots as a rookie. It's about developing and to be like in the low 30s. I think if Amen Thompson is ever shooting 33 to 35% from behind the three-point line, it is a huge win. It's a huge victory. And that's fine. Like Rajon Rondo was never a good three-point shooter.
Right.
LeBron, and I'm not comparing Thompson to LeBron. Let's stop that right now. LeBron's a low 30% three-point shooter. So, like, I think that that is a realistic, hopeful expectation for Amen Thompson.
And like I said, if he does everything else well,
yep, exactly,
then he just has to hit the open threes, which are easier to hit anyway, because he's a distributor, because he's a defender, because he's athletic, and he's going to finish on the break and run the break and do the things you need to get the ball into other players' hands. If he does all those things,
yep,
shooting is going to be just an added bonus, like you said, that makes this team better. And you'll take that along the way, because at the end of his career, Rondo could make a three.
Right.
He could make a wide-open three, and that's all you need him to do.
He's not beating you off the dribble. The one question that I'm curious what you think, like a quick cash him or trash him, can you hide poor three-point shooting more at the point guard position than you can at the two wings? I think you can.
You can, because of the fact that your defenders have to respect your ability to put it on the floor, and so therefore they're not going to completely lay off you and dare you, because they know that you can do other things to make things happen in the offense. Whereas the twos and the threes are on the wing, and if guys are just backing off you, taking away your strength of being able to drive, and you can't shoot it, now you're easily defended and shut down.
I want to see him be developed as a point guard so bad. All right, busy show for you today. We're at Pleasure Pier in Galveston. Who said it at 1:30? And we're going to make it back-to-back, or is Joe George going to top us? Plenty to get to with the Astros. A little Mauricio Dubon at first base, huh? How about that? And, of course, we're going to talk a lot about the Houston Rockets draft yesterday at 4-20, including a conversation with Kelly Eco, covers the Rockets for The Athletic. He'll be joining us next. It's Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
From the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios at the Pleasure Pier in Galveston, it's the Killer Bees.
Yeah, Killer Bees back on broadcasting live from Pleasure Pier in Galveston. Blankers, Brad, I'm not Santa's here. Not Santa. We have met not Santa for the first time. Joe, did you say Kelly's ready or not? I couldn't hear you.
Yes.
Okay, let's go straight out to the HRP guest line, being joined now by Kelly Eco, covers the Rockets for The Athletic. Really enjoyed his work leading up to the draft and his work last night as well. Kelly, what are the Rockets going to do with Amen Thompson? He's the fourth pick of the draft, as we all know. What is the plan for him? Where do we think he's going to play for Houston?
So I don't think it's going to be the exact same plan as you saw with Jalen Green and Jabari Smith Jr., where they kind of just threw them to the Sharks and force them to kind of fend for themselves. I think there better be a plan in place to make sure that they play, but also make sure that they have the right structure around them. You know, they want to bring in veterans and free agency that can surround this young core and give them something to actually grow with and grow towards. So I think for Amen, there's going to be a complete structure in place to ensure that his development goes smoothly.
Well, Kel, look, you were the one that was on top of this with the Rockets' pursuit of James Harden. It seems like it's taken a little bit of a 180 in the past week. I'm interested now, as we put the draft behind us, and we'll still talk to you plenty about that, about how they progress going forward from here in terms of, is it still a focus on Harden? Are they going to focus on a guy like Fred VanVleet? They need a veteran, especially if Amen Thompson's not going to be ready, and like you said, they're not going to throw him to the Sharks. Then is it more likely that when they get out in free agency, they look for one of those veteran point guards, maybe not named James Harden, maybe a Fred VanVleet, maybe guys like that?
So now that the draft is done, they can now, you know, turn their attention to free agency. Concerning James, there still is interest there, a high amount of interest there, and they believe that if they do want to actually go forward and get him, they believe they have the plans to do so. Now, it might not be paying him the money that he's looking for in terms of that $45, $50 million. I think that's a bit out of their price range, but they still believe internally that if they really want him, they can get him. Now, outside of James, you still have guys like Fred VanVleet. You still have guys like, you know, other people on the market, Chris Paul, all the other names out there that can come in and kind of be a mentor to an Amen Thompson, you know, as they try to bring him along.
Kelly Eco joining us on the HRMP guest line. Kelly, I got to ask you about Cam Whitmore. Why in the world did he fall to number 20?
So I think it was one of those situations where a few teams were worried about the medicals, the physical, whatever, from the combine and from the interviews and stuff like that. And so as more and more teams hear about that, that kind of has a domino effect, right? So the teams from, I guess, 5 through on down to about maybe 19, it just became a snowball effect. But as far as I'm concerned, I think the Rockets will never – they were always confident in his physical and his medicals or whatever, and they had him quite highly on their draft board. So, you know, they spent all Thursday trying to move up. And the problem with trying to move up was that teams that wanted to – that were entertaining those talks were saying, you know, if our guy is here or if our guy isn't here, you know, we'll move back. But their guy was there. So the Rockets couldn't find a deal. So as they would have it, he actually fell all the way to 20 and then made nine of the Rocket.
So it looks like it's all things considered, good draft for the Rockets. Got guys that you didn't think were necessarily going to be there. Got two guys you worked out this week.
Right.
As we progress forward now, what is the next logical step? Because you've got a new coach. You've got two new players added to all these players wondering what their philosophy is going to be as they try and appease their new coach. You talked about the top of the list in terms of free agents. Is Brook Lopez still on their list? Are there other guys we might be missing that they're going to be looking at to bring in to spend some of that $60-plus million they could spend?
So I think the first step that they have to do is figure out some trades. There simply aren't going to be enough playing time for everyone, especially to get to the end of the roster, so they're going to have to clear up some room there. But in terms of free agents, you know, I still have, you know, Dylan Brooks and Brook Lopez top of their list. You know, you can throw in other guys like Cam Johnson, Austin Reeves. You know, there are other guys out there that you can bring in, maybe some shooters, kind of complement this athletic young group. But the most important takeaway is that they need locker room presences. You know, these guys need structure, they need guidance, they need organization. And you can do that in free agency, but you have to go out and get the right pieces for the right amount of money.
Kelly Eco joining us on the HRNP guest line. Kelly, I'm curious with the overall build. You know, the Rockets added Amin Thompson with pick number 4. They added Cam Whitmore with pick number 20. We mentioned a couple of the free agents that are out there. You know, does a Harden reunion make sense? Lopez makes sense because, at the very least, you'd like some depth down low in the paint, protect the rim, have some outside shooting as well. We also think it's time to win, right? Like, Tillman's mentioned that it's phase two. Like, it's time to start winning basketball games. The losing is done. Phase one is over with. And Harden kind of changes the conversation because if you bring in Harden, now you're looking to make the playoffs. Let's assume that he doesn't come back, though. Is Tillman willing to go another year or two without being a playoff-type team and have the patience like he's had the last few years to continue to watch a young team grow?
I don't think so. I mean, there would have to be some kind of – like, if that were to happen, there would have to be some kind of substantial growth, even if you were to miss the play-in, in my opinion. I just think that with him coming out and saying that they're in a new phase, I think he's tired of the, you know, 20-win seasons, 22-win seasons, 25-win seasons. I think he wants to get back into, you know, the postseason and the playing tournament and just get him back to being a respectable franchise. So I think this is the year that they have to do it.
Cal, I was going to say, what's good enough? Is it getting in the play-in? Do they have to actually qualify for the playoffs? Because we know that this team in a loaded West where Golden State just got Chris Paul and Booker and KD were rewarded with Bradley Beal, and the Nuggets are the reigning world champs, by the way. The West isn't like a piece of cake anyway, but I'm wondering what's good enough for Tillman. Is it going to be a combination of ticket sales and jersey sales and more revenue for the team as well as wins, or is it going to be like, hey, playoff in the actual final eight Western Conference teams or bust?
I think it's a combination of everything. Obviously, commercial-wise, you want, you know, the more wins you have, the better your ticket sales are, the more exciting your team is. But that obviously plays a factor into it. You also want to, as a team, be competitive enough, even if you don't make the playoffs. If you can make the play-in, and, you know, that at least shows that you guys took a significant step from a 22-win season to maybe, let's say, 30, you know, 35, mid-30s. I think that quantifies as real growth. Now, if you add a number of free agents, you're kind of expected to make the play-in. So, on the flip side, it also depends on the caliber of guys you bring into this roster as well. Because if you bring in some big names and you don't make the playoffs, now you're potentially in trouble. So, it has to be – there's a fine line between the two, but it's going to be on Ime and the front office and the coaching staff to find that happy medium.
Kelly, this one's a tough one to answer because free agency has to play out, and the expectations of these two rookies are much different if you sign a big name, a la James Harden, and don't sign a big name, a la James Harden, especially just for the usage, and you only play one basketball, and you only get so many shots. What are the expectations, you know, realistic expectations for Amen Thompson, Cam Whitmore for the Rockets? Year one.
I think in year one you're going to see the upside that everyone's been talking about. I think there's a reason why both of those guys were consistently mocked in the top tens of drafts across the country. These are two of the most talented players in this current, you know, draft class. And for the Rockets to get their hands on both of them, they have to be over the moon. You know, now you bring them into your system, you have a brand new coaching staff, you have a brand new development plan in place. You hope that Udoka and his assistants can actually grow these guys. You know, over the last 2-3 years, we kind of saw stagnation in terms of development from guys like Jalen Green, Jabari Smith Jr., you know, Tari Eason. You wanted to see a bit more. But that comes with, you know, coaching, and that comes with the overall structure. So now that it's a brand-new regime, you want to see if those guys can actually take significant leaps and also help, you know, these new rookies now find their place in the NBA.
Kel, I got to ask you, with everybody, all talking about all the additions and everybody they brought in, who are the most likely now, as they kind of take it to the next phase, that won't be here by the time we get to training camp and opening day? Who are we most likely to see move on to another destination? Jayshon Tate. We know KJ Martin, depending on how his dad feels every day, he could be moved out. What are you thinking about who might not be here?
So I do know the new coaching staff is in love with Jayshon Tate already. They're referring to him as a junkyard dog. So I think he's pretty safe. But in terms of, I would look at guys towards the end of the rotation, you know, guys like potentially a Basin Mix that has a guarantee they're coming up. You know, there might be a shortage of minutes to go by, you know, guys like that, you know, potentially players along that ilk. So between now and, I think, next week, they'll have to figure that out. But it's going to be some tough calls to make pretty soon.
So much about rookies and becoming good basketball players is about their development. And a lot of time that's their own. You know, are they in the gym? Are they working on their game? Et cetera, et cetera. But the Rockets have a new coaching staff. And I think that that's part of the excitement of exciting players. The prospects of Amen Thompson with Ime Udoka. The prospects of Cam Whitmore, who many people think, you know, is a steal of this draft. A top 10 pick that fell all the way to 20. Now his projectability with a good head coach. Are the Rockets in good hands with Ime Udoka in terms of developing players and his coaching staff?
I think so. I think just given Ime's track record with players and the culture he kind of cultivates, and the attitude that he enforces, I think any young player walks into a situation where there is no nonsense tolerated. You know, Ime has been to the NBA Finals. He's been there with a group of hard-nosed veterans, so he expects that. From day one, he said during his introductory press conference that youth is not an excuse. So these guys can't lean on their age and use it as a false sense because of, you know, their actions or whatever. So I think coming into this, those guys already know what's in store, and they already know what they have to do to ensure that they develop at the right pace and the right level.
Kel, is there any way they can get a bowl of soup for Deshaun Knicks? Because I think that's where I'd start. I mean, and I wouldn't even put up that big of a fight if they just gave me the saltine crackers and I don't need to see any more Deshaun Knicks. I think that this roster's too deep and too talented to worry about these undrafted free agents that they're trying to find a diamond in the rough for.
Well, I mean, you know, nowadays with what they want to do in terms of winning basketball, you kind of have to trim the fat. And if you look at the last 2-3 seasons, there are a couple of players that have fallen by the wayside. Their development hasn't gone according to plan. So if you're serious about it, you know, winning and you're serious about taking that next step, you have to make those tough calls. So over the next, 5 to 6 days, they're going to have to deliberate and make those tough choices.
Kel, you can only pick two that you can keep on the roster next year. Ty Washington, Garuba, Josh Christopher.
Sounds like my kind of question.
Yeah, I'm a Jeremy Grant question guy now.
Two?
You can only keep two. Ty Washington, Garuba, and Christopher.
I'll probably go Ty and Christopher.
All right, I think it's my answer, too. Kelly, thanks so much for taking a few minutes. I know you have a lot of work to do the day after the NBA draft and free agency about to open up as well. Thanks for taking a few minutes, and I'm sure we'll talk soon.
All right. Thanks, Joel.
See you, buddy.
See you, Kelly. That's Kelly Eco of The Athletic, covers the Houston Rockets. I want to ask Blankers about the overall build. Going into phase two, and who is gone for the Houston Rockets that is currently on this team? It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Kane is in the building.
You're live in the Hive with the Killer Bees, Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios at the Pleasure Pier in Galveston.
We are at the Pleasure Pier in Galveston, broadcasting live from Sweet Scoops on Pleasure Pier, right across the side from a basketball goal that has a Rockets logo above it. Fitting for the day. Thanks to Kelly Eco for hopping on. I know he's had a very busy last couple of days. I wanted to get your thoughts on this, Blankers, the overall build of this team, because I'm hoping James Harden coming to Houston, especially now. I was already off of that train. I can understand it from a Rockets perspective on a two-year deal. I want nothing to do with it after you draft them in Thompson, Cam Whitmore. I want those guys to get minutes. I want those guys to get development. And I want the young nucleus to get development. But we have heard Tillman Fertitta today. Pleasure, Pierre. Tillman Fertitta, thank you for having us out. The phase two is that they're ready to start entering a phase of this rebuild where they start to winning some games. They start to be a little bit more competitive. I don't think they're talking championships yet. They're not going to parade down Pleasure Pier quite yet. But they want phase one to be over. They also owe draft picks to Oklahoma City coming up, top four protected. Is this a point, though, where you can still have some patience? Like, instead of bringing a James Harden or a big name that's going to get all the usage, that's going to get all the shots, that's going to get all the attention, do you think Tillman still might have some patience of, let's continue to build this right. Let's continue to build it through a young team, add some veterans, get some wins that way, but your nucleus isn't, I guess, clouded with the black cloud that is James Harden.
Yeah, you know what? It's interesting, Jeremy, because the fact that it is top four protected means that you still control your pick to some degree. If you do decide, hey, we're not ready to flat out put the pedal all the way down yet and go for it, there's a way that you can still salvage your pick at the end of the day, even if you don't win the lottery and you don't end up like, again, they did this year where they didn't get where they wanted to go and ultimately get to the number one pick. So that is possible with them. But the thing is that I think this is where Udoka really comes in. And his basketball pedigree and acumen comes in to say to Tillman, hey, look, we got to be realistic about what we got. We got a whole lot of young talent that we're trying to figure out. And I know you want to win right now. And we're going to spend the money, too, to try and find the players. But we're not going to spend on guys that don't fit and or stunt the development and the potential development of all this young talent we have on this roster. Therefore, to your point, James Harden wouldn't be the right type of guy. There are the right type of free agents out there that can do what they're brought in to do and still make the rest of this roster better by playing basketball a certain way. It's Udoka's way. Yeah. And if he's going to bring his philosophy and the way he wants to play on both ends of the floor, it's one thing to say he's bringing it to the locker room. He's got to convince the ownership that that's the right way to do it.
This is going to sound weird, and it's going to sound similar to the same take as the Fighting Rex Burkheads. I'd rather win 30 games next year without James Harden than 40 with him.
I agree. I totally agree. I think that that's something that you and I, when we've been talking all along, it's like, how do you classify a season as a success?
Right.
Right? There's many ways to do it. We go back to the Caserio philosophy of don't grade us on wins and losses. I think Tillman, to some degree, still believes in his mind you grade a team by wins and losses. But if you see true development that Silas and his staff wasn't able to give and do with all these young players this year, and we see steps being taken forward by so many of these, or even just a few of these young players that we've been dying to see kind of advance and develop,
right?
That's a huge win for this franchise, because right now, to be honest with you, when we look at it and analyze this roster, there's almost all question marks with no true answers about definitively saying, this is my so-and-so, this is my starting center, this is my potential superstar, this is my go-to guy. We don't know any of those things.
Right, and that's what I want to see. Like, I want a year where this team is built around the youngsters. I want to see Jalen Green with Ime Udoka. I want Alpi Shingun with Udoka for a year. I want Jabari with Udoka for a year. I don't think Amin is ready to really, like, be a huge factor. I think he's going to be a backup point guard, quite frankly, in his rookie year. But I want to see what Ime thinks of him after a season. I don't want somebody that's going to come in and take all of the focus away. It's just, in my opinion of that. Salman Ali, who covers the Rockets, does a great job. I took some heat for saying the other day, I said Salman Ali independently covers the Rockets. What is that? It wasn't a shot. I love Salman Ali's work. But he was he just tweeted this out, and this is from Brian Windhorst. This is from Wendy on the Hoop Collective last night. Ali tweeting what Windhorst said. He said, I think they, the Rockets, will spend a lot in the first couple days of free agency. Houston will go after Fred VanVleet. You still cool with Fred VanVleet after this draft?
I
think he's the mentor point guard for Amen Thompson if you want him to be a point guard.
Well, yeah, look, I think it's a body of collective skill sets that he brings to the table. If you just heard what Kelly said, if they're not going to force him, you know, to the Wolves right away and give him the ball from day one, you need a guy that's going to be able to control the offense and get the ball to everybody when they're open. We knew that Kevin Porter Jr. wasn't capable of doing that, whether he leading the league in turnovers or just not being a pass-first point guard. So if you get a guy that can, then that's the first step, right? The second step is, like you said, he needs to play big brother to some of the young players and kind of teach them how to be a professional, how to win, how to carry yourself on and off the floor. And then he needs to make shots. And I think that those three things, if that's what he does and he's the coach on the floor for Udoka, he's the perfect fit for this team.
He also says Philly is increasingly optimistic about retaining James Harden. It's kind of my feel, too. I feel like it's almost a long shot now that Harden ends up in Houston, which is great.
I also think in Philadelphia, it's kind of similar to what we've talked about with the Astros in the past with a conflict of interest and where the communication lies. Daryl wants Harden. Yeah. Nick Nurse wants VanVleet.
Interesting. Who's going to win the battle?
I think Daryl's going to win the battle.
I think so,
Daryl
too.
Daryl hired Nick Nurse.
Yeah, I'm with you. Rock also pursued Dylan Brooks and Brook Lopez, which isn't a surprise. We kind of knew that. You're out on Brooks. I'm okay-ish with Brooks, although it's a congested position. I love the idea of Brook Lopez, though.
I love Brook Lopez. I think that he, again, another veteran, been there, done that, NBA champion, knows how to win, carries himself the right way on and off the floor. Great big brother and mentor for the entire team. Everybody speaks absolute nothing but praise for him in Milwaukee. I think he'd be a great add. Dylan Brooks, to me, is exactly what you don't need. A distraction that's more about the show than he is about the go and being able to go out and do the things he's supposed to be doing. He's going to miss shots when he gets pressure put on him. He's not going to step up big once he starts to light the fire and start to fan the flames. He's exactly what you don't need, a poor man's Draymond Green on a young, impressionable team that's trying to take the next step.
I don't disagree with you. Devil's advocate, though, the numbers do love his defense, and he has the ability to be, and you said whenever you get a hand in his face, he doesn't knock down shots. That's true. But catch and shoot when he's open does have a good three-point shot. At least that's what the numbers
I got another guy
love on him.
Has everything that you just said, and he's going to be available now because of the moves this team made the other day. And he's not going to be the problem. Grant Williams is now going to be pretty much set free by the Celtics.
I don't think they're the same.
Grant Williams is a knockdown three-point shooter in the corners.
Yeah.
He's a very, very tough defender. He can guard bigger guys than him. He can guard smaller guys than him. And he's not going to demand the ball, and he's not going to be a distraction. I think Grant Williams is a cheaper version of Dylan Brooks that might be as productive.
I like Grant Williams more than Brooks. I don't think they're the similar. I don't think they're similar players, though. I think that Williams is more of a four post guy, where Brooks
he's
is more
of a post defender than a wing defender. I'll give you that.
I think Grant Williams is a really poor man Draymond Green without the assist numbers. Like, I think he's with a better shot at this point.
But his versatility helps you, especially with a guy like Şengün in the game.
Yeah.
Because you need guys that can cover spaces.
You need posts more than you need wings. So, like, I'd much rather have Grant Williams over Dylan Brooks, no doubt about that. All right, how much stock are you putting in the Cam Whitmore fall? The medicals apparently were there. I read somewhere where he has cartilage in his knee that may impact the back end of his career. Who knows if that's true. The thumb injury is real. The thumb injury that he had before the freshman year at Villanova, it forced him to miss some games early this year. Some don't think he ever fully recovered, although he was the freshman of the year in the Big East. Some people think he underachieved last season. Some anonymous quotes, I never come away from a game saying, wow, Cam Whitmore had an incredible impact on that game. I didn't watch a ton of Villanova basketball last year. And then some people said he had bad workouts. People came in and said, does he even want to be here? How much stock you put in all that stuff?
Well, I think there's something to it. We always say that the truth lies somewhere in the middle. The interesting thing to me was I thought he missed the games early in the year because he actually got the thumb fixed. And I don't know if he had surgery on it or not. But, you know, that's something that I think that with the medical staff they have here, they can get, but they can fix that. They can get that right. Now, can you get him right? Because we've already heard about all the different problems that you've had with personalities and other issues with guys on this roster. The good news is, if this was a year ago, I'd be deeply concerned about bringing a guy with those kind of words that have been spoken about him coming to an organization where it looks like there's no one to actually correct that or set the kid straight and get him the right way. Now with Udoka and his staff, I'd feel a little bit better about the fact that he comes in and knows he's learning from a coach that's been there, done that as a player, as a coach, and gotten to a finals. He's going to be able to get this kid, if anybody can, steered in the right direction.
That's a great point. I love that about you. One of the other things, too, like that's 100% true. Like Udoka has a much better chance to bring the best out of him than Steven Silas. No offense to Steven Silas, although it sounds very offensive. It's also, this is the type of player you pick at 20. Like that, it's different if you picked him at 4. Because I do think that there is something here. I do think it's tangible. I do think it's real. Like, he slid to 20 for a reason. Every single big board had him in the top 10. It wasn't one team that passed on him over and over again. This was 15 different teams that passed over on him over and over again. So I do think that there's something there with the medicals. I do think that there's something there with maybe he has bad body language at workouts, things like that. Maybe you need to, you know, bring the his intensity out of him, whatever. Which, you know, speaks to your Udoka point. But secondly, these are the type of players you pick at 20. Like, no. If you heard this about the 4th pick, I would be deeply concerned. If you're talking about this with the 20th pick, well, hopefully you iron that stuff out and you bring him up to his potential. Because, look, this is – Cam Whitmore was drafted in a spot where you were getting Ty Washington and Josh Christopher. He wasn't drafted in a spot where you were getting a Min Thompson, Jalen Green, Jabari Smith. The conversation's much different when you're talking top 5 versus 20. 20th picks are going to be flawed.
It's role players and risks, right? Role players and risks. You take a role player there, a specified shooter. He does one thing really well. He can defend. He can shoot. He can do things that a team needs as rotational players go, and you take a flyer to get him. Or you take a risk that a guy tumbled, or there are these things out there, whether it be medically, physically, or psychologically, that has been some reason why the kid might not have been drafted where he should have been, and you go, you know what, I'll take a flyer here, because if he doesn't make my squad or it doesn't work out, so be it. It wasn't a top lottery pick that I had value with.
Yeah.
And so I think you do that, and you roll the dice, you take your chances, plus you already have such young depth across the board that it doesn't affect you as much as it might affect some other team.
Even if the medicals are bad, which Rafael Stone was talking yesterday after the post-draft presser, and like, our doctors like him. But even if the medicals are bad, the Rockets aren't counting on him in year one. Like, they don't want him to be an all-star in year one. You can almost redshirt him if the medicals are that bad.
Let me give you the other thing that should be taken into consideration. When we talk about baseball, we talk about, say, a closer that's not in a closing situation, and he kind of loses his focus.
Yeah.
A lot of times, if you think you believe the hype, I'm supposed to be a top 5 pick. I'm supposed to be a top 3 pick. All of a sudden, I'm working out for a team drafting at 7, 8, 9, 10. I'm not going to have the same intensity going into that workout, because then, you know what? Then my goals aren't reached. I'm not going where I think I should go.
A lot of these players don't even work out with teams like outside. Like, Scoot Henderson didn't work out with anybody outside of the top 3. Like, it happens all the time. 713-780-ESPN, HRP listener line. What are your thoughts on the Rockets draft haul last night? 713-780-3776. It begs the question, because the Rockets had 2 picks in the first. We liked the picks. The Texans had 2 picks in the first. We liked the player. Who had the better draft, the Rockets or the Texans? 713-780-3776. Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Something that you need in your life right now, because this is the season, is a goal from Pro Dunk. I'm looking at a crappy goal right now. And you know what they need? They need a goal from Pro Dunk, because it's the best, highest quality basketball goal that you'll find. You watched the draft yesterday. You're jonesing to shoot some hoops. But if you're going to do so, you need a goal from Pro Dunk. They have the tempered glass backboard. Gives you the true, authentic feel off the glass, off the rim. A breakaway rim, too, in case you want to throw down some jams. Well, how are you throwing down some jams? Because it's height adjustable. We don't expect you to throw down some jams on a 10-foot high goal. But 5 feet? Different conversation. Goals raise anywhere from 5 to 10 feet. Throw down some jams at any height that you prefer. Raise it all the way up to regulation and see what it's like to be a pro. Their accessories are next level as well. LED light kits for night play. You work through the day. You might only have time at night. Well, these LED light kits are perfect for that. It's hot in Houston in the summer. Maybe you don't want to play at 1 o'clock in the afternoon when it's 110 degrees. Well, you get these LED light kits when it cools down a little bit in the evening, or that's the perfect time for this. Backstop nets as well keep the basketball from rolling away, and the pole pad lettering as well. And you can order everything, including professional installation online. That's right. You don't have to screw it up. You're not a handyman. I know that. But the pros at Pro Dunk are. They'll come to your house, professionally install your goal at the perfect height, perfectly straight. You don't lift a finger. Let the pros at Pro Dunk do all of the work for you. Give them a call right now, 281-351-9822, and visit ProDunk.com. That's ProDunk.com.
From the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios at the Pleasure Pier in Galveston, it's the Killer Bees.
I'm looking forward to the end of the show today. That way I can walk around the Pleasure Pier and ride some rides. I like rides. Come on out. If you're looking for something to do, it's a Friday. Can't make it out today. Pleasure Pier open all summer long. A great spot. Tons of rides, all on the pier, right on the water. It is great. We'll be here until 3. Wheelhouse will be here until 7. 9780. Hey, how about a shout-out to the Cougar Draft? Great night for H-Town all around. Yeah. That's a great point. Jairus Walker ending up an Indy top 10 pick. Marcus Sasser goes to Detroit. Brendan Riley texted me. Way too late to be texting me. It was 9:15. Just kidding. But he texted me. He goes, what should I think of Marcus Sasser? I was like, you're getting a gamer, man. Yeah. You're getting a dog. You're getting somebody who's going to give you all he's got on the defensive side. He can shoot the basketball. He can shoot the lights out, which the NFL, the NBA covets, obviously. It's kind of interesting because he's kind of like a 3-and-D guy, but not really, because he doesn't have, like, the prototypical NBA size that you would look at from a typical 3-and-D guy, and he's got a way better offensive game than a typical 3-and-D guy. He can handle the ball. I think he can play point guard in the NBA, more of a combo guard. I think Detroit drafted him with the – like, they drafted him almost to get a veteran, because he's kind of an older rookie. He's going to go in there, knock down some shots. I loved it where Jairus Walker ended up, and I love where Marcus Sasser ended up as well.
Sasser is really good because he does a lot of things really well, and I think he can be a great defender. And so I think when you're looking at it again later in the first round, like we talked about, if you're Detroit, you know you got a stable of young talent too. You can go get a guy that doesn't sit there and say, I mean, I got to be the man. We know that they already have Cade Cunningham and others that are bigger names. But if you know, hey, I've got a plan that comes in here to help this team, and I know I'm going to get minutes by doing this. Yep. If I show I can guard on the perimeter and I can guard guards and I can make it difficult for them, there'll be minutes for me. If I can make my shot when it's open and I don't shoot shots that I shouldn't be taking, there's minutes for me. If I can show that I've got handles, I can get to the rack and I can get the ball to open players' hands, there's going to be minutes for me. I think it's a great opportunity because if he goes to the wrong team, like a team loaded with guards or loaded with playoff caliber talent, he could get lost in the shuffle and sent to the back of the roster.
And it's a team that doesn't really have shooting. Like Cade Cunningham, Jaden Ivey, not great shooters. So I think that Detroit looked at that pick kind of like how the Knicks looked at Quentin Grimes. Like, he's an older rookie. Is his ceiling as high as like Cam Whitmore or whoever? Probably not. But he's somebody that you can almost guarantee is going to play 15, 20 minutes a game and give you solid production. Like, Quentin Grimes exceeded that. It wouldn't shock me if Marcus Sasser exceeds that as well.
Like Hakez from UCLA last night, and he went to the perfect spot for them too. Miami needs guys that aren't, like, potential with 18, 19-year-olds. They need guys that have been seasoned in top-level college basketball, so when they come into the Miami Heat culture, they realize it's about the team, not about me.
Yep.
And you play a certain way, and that's why I think Sasser fits so well in Detroit. He can take the team to a different level.
Higher floor guys, lower ceiling guys, probably. Yep. But I think Marcus Sasser is going to be a pro for a long time, and I think he's going to have a career similar to Quentin Grimes, although Grimes kind of exceeded expectations. We'll see if Sasser can exceed those expectations as well. And then Jairus Walker going number 8, the highest draft pick in Houston Cougar basketball history since
Dream.
Akeem Olajuwon. It's hard to believe.
You know what? It's weird on that, Jeremy, because when Washington took him, Indiana has been dialed in on him forever.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, they took the kid from France, and I went, oh, no, that means he's got to go play for the Wizards. And that bleep show, I'm like, that's that. You know what? Johnny Davis of Wisconsin was a top 6 pick, did absolutely nothing. You know, Kispert from Gonzaga goes to Washington. Everybody, oh, what a great show. Does absolutely nothing.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want Jairus Walker to go to Washington where top picks go to die. I want him to be in a situation where Rick Carlisle can have him put into an environment where he's going to learn from really good coaching around good players and get better. Turner's there. He can learn from him. I think it's a great spot for him.
Indy. Love it for Jairus Walker. Yep. Who had the better draft? The Texans, of course, got C.J. Stroud at number two. They made the trade up to number three, selected Will Anderson. The Rockets didn't have to trade. They were trying. Rafael Stone was trying, was working the phones. Didn't have to, though. Got him in Thompson at number four. Got Cam Whitmore at number 20. Who had the better draft? The Houston Texans or the Houston Rockets? Let's call it first-round draft.
Here's what I would say. In terms of just overall talent, I believe the Texans had the better draft. In terms of how the draft played out to get the talent that they brought in, the Rockets had the better draft because they didn't have to give anything up to get the guys that they got. So if you wanted your franchise potential, franchise quarterback, and a potential, you know, defensive stalwart star for the next several years, you got those things. But you actually had to give up those certain things to get them. In the case of the Rockets, you gave up nothing. You got potential across the board, and you got guys that could actually make your team better without having to give up any assets and capital. So yeah. I think it's a win-win.
I like the way that you put that, because I agree with you. Like the Texans got tier one level players. C.J. Stroud, tier one level player. Will Anderson, tier one level player, but gave up a king's ransom to guarantee a second tier one player. Does it work out at the end of the day? Time will tell. The Houston Rockets didn't have to give up a king's ransom, but didn't get a tier one player. They got two tier two players with a tier two pick and probably like a tier five pick, which makes it feel like plus EV, plus expected value. So from like an overall draft capital, future picks, plus negative expected value, I'll give the Rockets the edge. But I do agree that the Texans got two tier one players in the NFL draft, where the Rockets got two tier two players. So that's a great way to summarize it,
yeah,
I think.
Because we always say with return on investment, it's what you gave up will affect how much you expect to get back in return. You gave up, as you said, a king's ransom to get the guys the Texans got, at least one of them. But, you know, we always rope say you got to evaluate both of them the way they did it. So now you have the expectations go way up. When you take about the guys based on potential that actually fell into your lap like the Rockets did, if they pan out, awesome. You really won the draft even more. If they don't, you're not going to get faulted and picked apart because you did what you did and took them at where you took them.
6030 says, I keep seeing everyone say we won the draft, but we drafted a guy that can't shoot fourth, and then we need shooters. Am I missing something?
I still think they need shooters. I think there's no doubt about it. But I think before that they can go in and focus on getting shooters, they got to figure out what they already have. You got lots of guys that like to shoot the ball that haven't been real consistent in terms of getting the ball to go down. Now with the new coaching staff, with a true plan on both sides of the ball, you're going to have to start seeing what you already have in terms of guys playing the style that he wants you to play. And then kind of fill in the gaps accordingly with shooters when the time is right.
Yeah, that's why I want him to play point guard, though. That's why I want him in Thompson to be point guard, because it's a better fit, because you have Jalen Green, because you have all of the small forwards. That's why I want him to be a point guard. And then plus, I think the shooting, you can live with a poor, below-average shooter much easier at the point guard spot than you can at the two or the three.
With the talent you have around him, too, that's what makes it easier,
right,
too. Because you don't have, in a lot of cases, we look at how many point guards are the star player of an NBA team, with Dame Lillard and Steph Curry and all these guys expected to put the ball in the bucket. With the roster he's got, he's expected to get the hands and ball in the hands of the guys that can put it in the bucket.
Am I crazy to hope that he turns into like a souped-up Rajon Rondo?
Which, I don't think
are
it's
you
bad.
Are you good with that? If he's a souped-up Rajon Rondo, is never like an NBA first-teamer, but is just like a consistent, good point guard in the NBA.
Yeah, I'm fine with that as long as you keep this current roster of talent and add to
you
it
have to
around,
add around him.
Yeah, because you got to have the right players around him.
If he's that guy, he can't be your second-best player.
Right.
He's got to be third or fourth, at best, third.
Because you're expecting your top three players, the way the league goes these days, to be like double-digit scorers that can go out and get a bucket for you at any time. Rondo was great with touch around the basket, but Rondo was a liability outside of the free throw line.
Like, overly optimistic, Jalen Green's like a 25 per game points per game scorer. Jabari's giving you a double-double. Alpi's giving you a double-double. If he's Rajon Rondo souped up, that's the makings of a pretty good nucleus.
And that's when you go out and find a couple shooters and
absolutely
say, well, we'll take our chances.
Speaking of shooters, did you see what Grady Dick was wearing yesterday?
Oh, my God.
That was abysmal.
So I went from keyboard for a techno band to the stand-in for Chris Paul in a State Farm commercial for the new.
He looked like a figure skater.
It was ridiculous. ridiculous.
What was the Will Ferrell figure skating movie?
Oh, yeah.
That's, he looked like he could have been an extra in that one. Like he was skating for another country.
I thought he was like in a Flock of Seagulls cover band playing keyboard. Like, who? The fact that he was trying, was that his personality coming out? Like, the fact that someone didn't stop him, then they were like, you know, what are you wearing? Like, literally, what are you wearing? Like, it's outrageous. And he was going, oh, it's designer A and designer B. No one cares about that. You look like if you had a hook in your back, you could be hung on a Christmas tree. What the hell are you doing?
713-780-ESPN, the HRP listener line, 713-780-3776. I have a would you rather, Mauricio Dubon or Jose Abreu to be your everyday first baseman. 713-780-3776. Killer Bees broadcasting live from Pleasure Pier in Galveston on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.